you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Those radio losers, nobody cares about them.
Afternoons on the Score.
That Soto guy, can fans dream of you guys being in the mix for a player like that?
That's a great question.
That is not what he said.
It is. I remember exactly how that went.
Was that you at the National Association of Black Journalists yesterday at their meeting? That was you, right?
I thought Jed was half Indian. I got confused about that.
Only when he wants to be.
He declared himself.
Carter Hawkins came from the Indians. That's what it was.
Oh, it's the Guardians.
I thought it was the Indians when he was there.
So the front office is half Cleveland Indians.
And then he chose to be a Guardian.
It's a good choice. Whatever.
It was fun in 2024 to have national discourse of how being biracial works. Wasn't that fun yesterday?
It was fun. I mean, look at that text. People get it from the 516. Is she black or is she Indian? Jed.
It's public stuff.
We can talk about it.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, he has a job. He has a role. But I have been anointed baseball president, which I'm excited about.
This doesn't feel like it was a democratic process to elect you.
How's your ear?
Tell you what, in 4 years, you won't have to worry about voting for baseball president.
I didn't after the first time, apparently.
Just got to do it once.
You're appointed. Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
And when you get appointed for life, baseball president.
The game is better for that.
For life. That's right. I've been doing some redistricting.
I mean, it's better than multi-level baseball person or whatever you appointed yourself a couple of years ago.
I don't know.
When you had the Stroman scoop. You're like, I'm a multi-level baseball person. What does that mean?
We're going to get rid of the pitch clock. The pitch clock's been bad for the game.
Yeah, I don't like the game now, Shane. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to storm the studio in there.
Dude, I'll storm Cooperstown with you. We're fighting fair.
But what's funny is that all those guys looked like Brandon Marsh and like Johnny Gomes and, you know, Adam LaRoche. Yeah.
Damn, dude, that's what I look like.
Yeah. Welcome to
what
we
are. We don't know where you were.
We have no idea.
I was here on January 6th,
you
guys.
Gotta.
I was at work.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious, though. Grizzly Man. Download it, watch it, don't research it, trust me.
I got nothing to watch tonight, so I'll do that.
There you go, yeah. Not going to watch the Bears.
Hall of Fame
He's
game.
Not in.
Hall of Fame game.
Not in. The president of baseball operations, his comments yesterday did not go
in your cabinet? Or
That's right. I let him be in the cabinet. I'd be fun to appoint my cabinet if I was indeed the baseball
Tammy,
president.
Look at what
you're the
done.
One that said it, dude.
I was talking about Jed.
Yeah.
All right. Who's in your cabinet?
I'm thinking about
it. It's only 3:05. We have 3 more hours.
Well,
who's in your cabinet?
Shep is my secretary.
Oh, yeah.
So he can look up.
Congrats to Shep, by the way.
Yeah.
Definitely. Sports
he's in the cabinet. Yeah. All that too. Yeah.
Yeah. New editor for Notre Dame content at Sports Illustrated.
That's very
cool.
I texted with him today. He said he's going to be covering games at Notre Dame in a professional capacity.
That's great.
How cool is that?
I know. I was texting with him also. He said he was covering Notre
Shane,
Dame.
Shane, did you text him?
He doesn't respond to me.
No, okay.
I don't know why.
I didn't text him. I didn't text him, and now I feel bad. I'm going to text him during
the
second.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see? See what you started?
It's not what I'm saying.
He doesn't reply to me. I have
Congrats.
No idea why. it smells weird.
Congrats.
Do you have a new number? He's got a new number.
Psyched for you doing this on
the
air.
Oh, he didn't give it to me. Again. No idea why.
Covering games, and they'll be able to shape the coverage for Notre Dame football for an outlet like that. It's very, very cool. Congrats to Shep. So he's in your
He's in my cabinet.
You sent a really thoughtful text.
I did. I sent a really thoughtful text live on the air to Nick Shepkowski. And now I'm talking about it, which gives me extra credit, as opposed to you guys just merely doing it in your private time.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Who else is in your cabinet, Mr. President?
I don't know. I'll work on it.
I feel like Dave Stewart's in there, right? You love talking to Dave.
Well, Buck can't be in. He quit
Dave
your game.
Dave Stewart? Or Dave Sims, you mean?
No, both. Both, actually.
No, Dave Sims is definitely in there. Dave Sims, yeah. I'll figure out. I need Joe Buck is definitely in my baseball cabinet.
No, he quit baseball.
There's still a spot for him in the cabinet.
What's Ryan Porth's role?
Yeah, he does have a role. He's a producer. He produced the Beat the Streak podcast and the PPP.
I gotta tell you, right. Coom Dog's in there.
Yeah.
He's a 10.
Secretary of defending our game.
Of morale.
Dave Sims.
Being a 10.
Yeah. Being a 10.
Tom
Hamilton.
Bronson Arroyo is in there.
Why?
He doesn't
want to be there.
Oh, yes, he does. He totally does. He wants to hang out. We gotta listen to tunes.
Damn.
Yeah, listen to tunes.
Len Casper. Len Casper's in my cabinet. I need a bass player.
That's funny.
Look, I'll work on this another time, okay?
All right. All right, that's fine.
Speaking of someone else that never replies to me but replies to all you guys.
Len Casper.
Don't worry about it, dude. Like, I'm hashing things out right now in my own head. Don't worry about it.
I got to tell you, though, Spees, if you work on this and you want to bring it back at a later date, I don't like the chances of that. So you better fine-tune it by the end of the show.
This might be your window.
Why?
It's football season.
Yeah, football.
Oh, is it? Is it today?
Yeah. It starts tomorrow, Speaks. Like, we have a shorty from Cubs tomorrow, but tomorrow, your opinions mean nothing in the eyes of this show.
Oh, that football. Starts tomorrow.
Yes. They meant a lot leading up to tomorrow.
Thanks. Yeah. No, I've been here. I've noticed some things.
Oh,
like
God.
Danny said, we've worked together.
We've worked together a long time.
Long enough.
Whatever I said, I said.
I too will lay off the honey buns. I'm going to cut them out.
I never
Me and Chris
said
Emma
that.
Both.
Well, Topgolf just sends them.
Me and Chris Emma are going to hang out together and not eat honey buns.
Topgolf opens the honey buns, gives you a quarter, and then drops the rest off at MVP.
That's enough. It's enough honey buns for you. Got to cut those out.
All right, too much music talk.
What is going on? Jed Hoyer seemed to make a lot of people very upset in the Cubs universe. Not like within the organization, but on, you know, the internet, where it's normally really rational, level-headed, non-emotional conversations. But I understood why. Like, it felt like a guy saying, we underachieved, but to have a really good year, we needed to overachieve. But when you're spending top 10 payroll in baseball, you'd like to think that you've got a little bit more margin for error for those things. So just to reset it a little, because this is a team building thing.
Yes.
And it's really more of a question of, do you think that they're close? That's really what the issue is.
Well,
because, like, they should have been better last year, but they collapsed. Then this year, they feel like they should be a little bit better, but they've been injured and underperformed. So the question is, if they perform to a 90th percentile season, are they a contender? Like, I think that's the, at least that's how I'm choosing to frame this, because if you don't think that, there's not a lot of room to change things unless you're going to blow it up.
See, I heard your question and Jed's answer in the broader spectrum of team building at any point in the window, in the process. Like, it could have been like would they have offered $330 million to Trey Turner when he took $300 from the Phillies? You know, would they have gone $5 million over what Bryce Harper was offered? You know, like, from that question and answer, I don't think he would have. And so I find myself thinking about all those times, not just this time as you're discussing. Here's the Q&A from yesterday. It was very interesting.
Are you fundamentally against the $300-plus million contract?
You know, yeah, I mean, I would not say I'm fundamentally opposed to it. I think that, you know, with any deal like that, there's a lot of risk. And I think that obviously at some level you're paying with any of those deals. If you're assuming that you're signing that player in free agency, you there's an awareness that most likely the end of that deal is going to be highly inefficient, and that you really have to, you know, gain the efficiency early in that deal. So, yeah, I think there's, of course, there's a lot of risk in that. I'm not fundamentally opposed to it. I do think that there's probably, you know, I'm probably more risk averse on those kind of deals. And I think there's, you know, those are the deals you sign the I want to say, like, you know, the Hall of Famers too, you know, but the truly elite. I think that there's obviously a lot of risk in them, but I mean, fundamentally, are there players in this league that I think are definitely worth it? You know, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's good that he can see that,
right?
And,
I mean,
and agree with that,
because that's Soto. Juan Soto is on a track for Cooperstown. It's not a guarantee, but Juan Soto, if he continues to play at the level that he is playing at for a body of work that would be, you know, the majority of the next contract, assuming he chooses to do the 10-year deal with a couple of opt-outs to maximize the guaranteed earnings and that sort of thing. Like, if Juan Soto has six more excellent offensive seasons, he's going to Cooperstown. And Jed says there are some guys that he feels deserve it, but they got to be the truly special elite guys. So that wouldn't rule it out for me. It just seems like it would make it unlikely. Unlikely.
Exceedingly, exceedingly rare.
Yeah.
And I think our, you know, a couple of data points in there is the Bryce Harper pursuit or lack thereof, and depending on where the Cubs were in their life cycle, that could certainly be debated. And then, you know, the decision to end up with Dansby as opposed to Correa, as opposed to Trey Turner, as opposed to Xander Bogaerts, and that looked like a good choice and an economical choice in retrospect, at least last year, because Dansby was good. And even though you feel like that's bad money now, because the second year is so bad, it's not as bad as the money would be if it was a $300 million deal, obviously. So he probably still takes a little validation from that. You know, it's just that there are certain players who are absolutely worth it. And they let you know that you can then bank on them giving you all that excellence. Aaron Judge is worth the 9-year, $360 million deal he signed. Bryce Harper is worth the 13-year, $330 million deal that he signed. Corey Seager, 10 years, $325. They just won a World Series, man. And Corey Seager has a lot of good baseball left in him. Will there be some dead and bad years on the back end? Probably. Ask the Yankees if they think Gerrit Cole is worth the money that he signed for in 2020. Because the answer is yes, whether they've finished in the postseason or not. Manny Machado, 10 years, $300 mil in 2019. You could debate that, but the Padres did make a postseason and are looking like they could make another one this year. So, you know, and to your point, Danny, it's like Mookie Betts is worth the contract that the Dodgers gave him. Freddie Freeman is, like, great players
yes.
are worth those deals for the most part. And that's the price of doing big time business that they're choosing not to play.
So if we asked Tom Ricketts, are you fundamentally opposed to $300 million plus contracts? I can almost guarantee that he would say, it's up to Jed. Jed gets a budget, he gets to spend it. And we ask Jed, and he's like, I'm not fundamentally opposed, the Hall of Famers are worth it, but I'm more risk averse to it than others.
Yeah, he tried to give us a genuine answer, I think, on his team building processes, and recent history bears that out.
Is there a chance that there's a lie or cover in there? And it's that Jed wanted to sign Bryce Harper, but that he wasn't allowed to.
There is a chance.
I think we have.
There is certainly a chance, because these guys get paid to be the mouthpiece and sometimes the shield.
Yeah. I think that there is a, and that's not being an apologist for Jed, by the way. I'm just saying we know how it works. And the Bryce Harper one, he was openly flirting with the Cubs. Chris Bryant was his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
His dog was named Wrigley. They needed a right fielder. Yeah. They needed power. They needed a star.
Sure.
They need,
like, but you got me thinking here, Danny, about the baseball boss's role as the articulator
yes.
and sometimes the shield for restraint.
Like, Jed's a smart guy. He knows that when he says that, it's not going to be popular. But he doesn't want to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't, but he does need to cover if that's the job that he's being asked to do. So I have a very hard time believing that he wouldn't. Why wouldn't you want to spend big money? Like, if he ran the Dodgers, do I think he would not have given Shohei Ohtani that contract?
Well, that's completely different restrictions or lack thereof.
But that's obvious. But he says I am risk averse on those types of contracts. So that would. But then you're saying if he had less restrictions, he'd be less risk averse.
Well, but what we don't know is where the agreement is made or how the agreement is made between ownership and a baseball front office in this particular example of what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. You do know who's going to talk about it. To your point, you do know that Jed's going to be the one who has to voice it and has to voice it carefully and take the heat if things don't go well. And Tom can say, well, it's up to Jed. I give him the, you know, he's in control. What we don't know is at the beginning when Jed got the job, whether it was, hey, this is what I want to do, this is what I don't want to do from ownership, and this is how far I want to go and how far I do not want to go. Oh, I can do it that way. I can absolutely do it that way. And then it unleashes the plan for the next few years that culminates in not doing it. And then the plan looks a little funky. Yeah, so, and we don't know exactly how those conversations went and how those agreements go. I keep thinking about Theo because Theo was so good at voicing where they were and some of the restrictions, but also he went for stuff and then it didn't work. He had cachet. Once he got cachet in Boston, he spent like crazy and it didn't really go well. And once he had cachet here, he spent like crazy on a few things that did not go well. And then he bailed and they withdrew the Yu Darvish money, took $58 million off the books.
Yeah.
You know, and thus began a new era at that point without the made guy in Theo who got out while the getting was good. You know, and now Jed is beholden to ownership in a way that Theo is not.
Yeah. And Jed's going to have some level of desperation this offseason.
Yes.
And I wonder if it's going to lead to, all right, yeah, I'm more risk averse than others, but we're a superstar away from being a contender. Just trust me, let's spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's
interesting.
I think there's a
God, everybody's middle management except the owner, aren't they?
Everyone's got a boss except the owner.
Yeah, everybody's
golden rule. Who you makes the gold is the rule.
And everybody's balancing that and everybody is voicing some mix of their own thoughts and what they are allowed to voice.
Because Bryce Harper is the one that I never understood. All the other ones you can make an argument for. Even Dansby over Trey Turner. 7 years instead of 10 or 11 or whatever it was. They got the cheapest guy of the four shortstops, but they still got a shortstop, the high floor, all that stuff. You wanted to play the Paredes answer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
in terms of the team building.
Yeah, the team building. Like, what happens if you add a really good player a month ago, as they were clearly thinking about, at least, with Paredes?
Well, one person, I mean, is not going to change, our offense. I think that as we look at what things I'm looking forward to seeing over the next 2 months, like, we need to be much better offensively. And certainly, whether it's swapping out, Paredes and sort of his approach versus Morel, that doesn't solve that issue. We have to have a lot of guys in that lineup. I think, have had solid years, but ultimately we haven't had anyone really overperform their projections and we haven't hit situationally. And I think when you look at it and you look at this team, we've pitched well enough to be a contender, despite the fact that we have as many pitching injuries as almost anyone. We've battled through and pitched well. We haven't hit enough, plain and simple. And that's been a problem from day one. And, certainly the expectation was not that, Isak Paredes could come in and change that. We think he's certainly part of the solution, but I'm hoping over the next 2 months that we look more like the offense we were last year. And that certainly would give me some comfort going into the offseason, because there's no question that, looking at the way we played this year, the offense hasn't been good enough and we haven't scored enough runs, and that's obviously put us in the hole that we're in.
Look, I'm just a guy, right? I'm just a guy who's covered baseball in this town for a long time.
Mr. President.
Yeah. That's right. I'm not just a guy. I'm the baseball president. Excuse me. I lost track of my title there for a minute. Thank you. Thank you guys for reminding me. I thoroughly disagree with Jed Hoyer that one real good hitter doesn't change a lineup fundamentally.
Why'd you get rid of term limits, by the way?
Because I am the only one who should ever hold this post.
Damn.
And and I'm the last one who should ever hold this post.
We get it. No more voting.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, voting is passe. But I've just seen it way too many damn times. And even just in recent history, the way that we've talked to Nico about last year when Cody Bellinger was rolling about like the contagiousness of seeing a guy do what he's supposed to do as a hitter. Like, oh yeah, now I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And now you've got Bellinger and Paredes doing that. And Nico last night is saying this is the best version of us that we've been. One really good smart hitter or one really good powerful slugger, one guy, you know, on a run who's doing incredible things can absolutely change a lineup. It just can. I've seen it so many damn times, and I feel like he's being... I really disagree with him, and I wonder if he truly agrees with what he just said to us, frankly.
You think it's some, like, I don't want to put this on Paredes too much? Like, I don't want to put too much pressure on the new guy to fix us?
I don't want to admit that if I made a move a month ago, it might have made this big a change. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Like, oh, because that's interesting.
Because look, a month ago...
I don't know that he was available a month ago.
Maybe not him. But there certainly were moves available. Luis Arraez moved 2 months ago. You know, it's like if you had added a real hitter of consequence, whether it was an average guy or a slugger, what difference might it have had over the whole lineup? I think it's we've just seen it too many times to know that it absolutely is something that happens.
Come hang out with us at the Wall in Gurnee. We're giving away passes and vouchers for the theater experience, and you can win a Golden Tee machine. But we're going to be there from 2 to 6. It's free. Then we're going to do a meet and greet after. Then the Hard Knocks premiere is at 8 o'clock. It's at a theater, but it's a bar, and it's going to be an amazing experience. So it's the Wall in Gurnee. When you hear this later in the show,
Hard Knocks,
just call us up at 312-540-0670. We're going to be there on Tuesday, August 6th.
There's a very important opening in my administration as baseball president, and I want to know who's interested in being my baseball vice president. So maybe a little bit later in the show, we could have some open auditions. Or, you know, people could state their claim as to why they'd like to be baseball vice president. I'm looking across the glass.
Yeah, we have to go through the baseball primaries, of course. Like,
I'm not obviously really interested in the post. So
I know you're not. I know.
So we haven't even had the Iowa caucus yet. So, yeah, and you're like assuming power.
That's in Field of Dreams. That's where the Iowa caucus is.
If you build it, they will vote.
They will vote. But I want you guys to think about whether you're interested. Shane Tanney, you don't want to be baseball vice president?
No, I want to be away from the game.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's what White Sox have done to you. What a sad state of affairs.
Yeah. He's a hoops junkie now.
Mm-hmm. I'm an addict.
It's been about 20 minutes since we talked about football, which is way too long. A Hall of Famer on the Bears at the Hall of Fame game. Next on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
Afternoons on the Score.
That was really risky by Trubisky. You like that?
I love Dan Fouts calling games. I thought he was really, really good at it.
I totally agree. The bird and the beard was a great team, man.
Iron Eagle and Dan Fouts.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
And I think Dan Fouts is like an old school football human, but his offense was from the newest school imaginable, and there are shades of Eric Coryell that still permeate the league. So he always sounded up to date talking football.
Yeah, he also worked at it. And so you know, he's a Hall of Famer, and he was at the Hall of Fame, so he stopped by with Mully and Hawk, who did a great job, by the way.
I thought so too, man.
Crazy good guest list.
Another one tomorrow.
Today, and exactly, they're doing it again tomorrow. So be sure you're locked in, as you should always be. But it's presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Yeah, they just had a huge guest list today, and I'm sure it'll be even bigger tomorrow as the Hall of Fame game for the reaction and all of that. But Dan Fouts was on. And he, with his Chargers connections, knows about Keenan Allen, but also talked about Caleb.
Well, he's going to be difficult to defend, number one, because he's so athletic.
He's used to making big plays out of the pocket, but he can also make them from the pocket. So I think it's a good combination for the Bears. And, you know, when you add in the wide receiver from Washington, Rome, is that how we say it?
Rome Dunze.
And I think that, you know, the two of them will have a good chemistry. And Keenan Allen is a guy that I still don't know why the Chargers decided not to sign him. All he does is catch passes.
Yeah.
And passes
he's open.
And passes and
third
passes.
Downs, no matter what. You just throw the ball and he's getting it.
He's got such an awareness of where to be on the field. And he takes his time. Watch him closely. He doesn't burst off the line of scrimmage a lot. He kind of feels his way down the field, finds that open spot, and Herbert would find him. Well, and now Caleb's going to have to find him, which I think he will.
Yeah, I look at the Bears, and I it's just extraordinary. Didn't they once pursue you? Wasn't there one time where you might have come to Chicago? You were one of the names mentioned at one point. I mean, it's like one of these cities. And I agree with you on Jim McMahon, but that's the boogeyman position. The position you know perfected is the boogeyman position in Chicago, where you've just gone through different efforts but never really managed it.
Well, I was fortunate, obviously, to play for Don Coryell.
Sure.
And 9 years with Coryell was the reason I'm sitting here talking to you guys right now, because that's, you know, I'm in the Hall of Fame because of him and his system. And it's so much of how the system fits the quarterback. But if you're changing head coaches every other year, you're changing systems, you're changing personnel, it's just a recipe for disaster, especially at the quarterback position. Because you've got so much on your plate as a quarterback in the NFL. First of all, you got to earn the spot. You got to earn the respect of your teammates. And then you got to build on it every year with the offense. And if you don't have that same offensive philosophy that you can expand every year, every week. I mean, with Coryell, we did things in the 15th week that we did in the first week, but it looked very different. It was always changing, and it was different personnel. But in our heads, it was the same because the way the system worked.
We can talk about the arm talent. We talk about the way that Caleb Williams can throw up different platforms. But what he hasn't faced at the NFL level, didn't face in college, what he's going to face now, is the pressure. He faced a lot of three-man rushes, and everyone would drop, and he wouldn't have to make decisions under pressure. How does a quarterback adapt to that kind of pressure in the pocket so he can still succeed and be as accurate as he was at college?
Well, you really, there's no formula. Either you do or you don't. Either you have it or you don't. Fortunately for me, I was forced to have it because I couldn't do anything else except stand there in the pocket and throw. So that worked out okay. But he's got ability to, as we talked about, escape the pocket. But that pressure, he'll be tested. I mean, the NFL can be cruel.
Yeah,
and it's going to be cruel to a young quarterback, and especially if they start to see, and they will see, flaws in anybody's game.
Sure.
And they'll figure it out, and it's week to week. I mean, it's exponential what NFL defenses can do to any quarterback, let alone a number one rookie quarterback.
I was really excited to hear that Dan Fouts was going to come on and listen to that segment and enjoyed so much of it. And we can talk about any of the Caleb that you want, but he knows Keenan Allen well. From doing Chargers games and has watched him, that stuff about Keenan Allen feeling his way down the field. And when Fouts says, watch him closely, I cannot wait to watch him closely and see the route running and see what he's talking about it. Like he's not one of those guys who bursts off the line. And that's, I mean, guys who do that and have the burst to do that is great. But Keenan's just like, all right, let me just own you with my route run. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I'd love to, if we got a chance to talk to him at some point, you know, it'd be fun to talk to him about option routes, which is just it's a nerdy thing. But like the idea of Kelsey's probably the best in the NFL at it, but it's like, okay, you're going to go out there and you are just trusting that the receiver and the quarterback read it the same way. And it's, you know, if they're on your inside hip, you break out. If they're on your outside hip, you break in, that sort of thing. But like, he's amazing at it.
He's amazing at it.
It's not just beating a zone. Like he's reading the defense as he's running his route, and then he goes to the open space.
And then the way you described it, that the quarterback and the receiver are reading it the same way, Yes, you want that, but sometimes I'm sure the quarterback is waiting for the receiver to make his read, and then he takes his key off watching the body of the receiver and sees them start to make their turn.
Yeah, but you're
and he's like, oh, there we go.
Yeah, but you're trying to have a, you know, you don't, when they're out of their break, the ball should be in the air. And so, you know, it's not completely freelancing out there. Sometimes they hear Kelsey talk about it and Mahomes talk about it.
It sounds like
Mahomes, like they are straight up freelancing. It's yeah. like, and basically maybe the only thing is like, past the sticks, you know what I mean? Or into the end zone, or you know what I mean? Some version of like the distance that they need to get on that yardage. And then otherwise it's basically just, yo man, get open, run to that distance, and I will trust that you and I are going to see this the same. It leads to bad interceptions if you are on the wrong page. It leads to like, what the hell was he thrown to or whatever. But if you have two really smart guys executing it, it's very, very tough to defend.
Backyard football right there.
Yeah.
A little 2-on-2 with the automatic quarterback. So, I was not usually the wide receiver or the defensive back.
Yeah.
But I was sometimes the quarterback.
It's fun.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
Fun game.
And you're like, all right, I don't know. Just go out that way.
Yeah.
And get open somehow. And you wait for that wide out to get the separation and then fire it.
And I don't know. It'd be interesting to know. Like, Keenan Allen has played with kind of geniuses at the position. I mean, Philip Rivers and Justin Herbert are high-level throwers and thinkers of football. And Caleb is supposed to be it. I don't know how much they're going to trust Caleb to let Keenan Allen run option routes as a rookie. I have no idea. You know, like, or like, and how much of Keenan's success was because of those types of things and that type of trust.
Yeah.
And Caleb might not be far enough along in his development to be doing that as a rookie. And
no,
it might need to be more precise and you know, to the letter of Shane Waldron's playbook. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. Maybe not at the beginning of the year. Maybe it's something that develops, and then it's a late in the season thing.
Yeah.
One thing schematically that Fouts talked about, that he and those guys with Eric Coryell, we're talking about John Jefferson and Wes Chandler and Charlie Joyner and Kellen Winslow and Chuck Muncy and all those guys. I love that team. When like when he's talking about it, they would do the same things in week 15 that they did in week 1, but it would look completely different to the defense.
Yeah.
They would be the same to them, same concepts and same stuff, but it would look different. I mean, that's everybody now, right? Everybody dresses the same plays up in a million different ways, and that's what they try to do. That's what Eric Coryell was doing when people were like, what are they doing? It's insane. Just showing you different looks for some of the same stuff they would do again and again.
Yeah, just the Niners are great at that right now. Kyle Shanahan's incredible at it. Just the run to the right looks the exact same as the run to the left, and then you could play action off of it. The blocking's the same. The formation's the same. It's a complicated game, and hopefully Caleb can master it very, very quickly here. I don't know if maybe there's nothing that we do that has a higher approval rating than stories of my incompetence and failure. It might be our most popular recurring thing.
Let's check the numbers on that.
I know. We should have Porth pull the data. Certainly from text line and Twitter response, it seems to be something that you all love very, very much. The Twitches enjoy it as well. I got a doozy for you. It's humiliating. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on The Score.
All right, stories of my failures.
I'd get a kick out of it.
So, stories of my failures are very, very, very popular around here. And I gotta say, they are normally things that I can kind of defend. It's like, how would I know how to do this? Or I've never owned a house before.
Sure.
Or I've never been a parent before.
How would you know how to get a mouse out of the stove? Might as well just cover up the burners and go to bed.
Exactly. Exactly.
No,
Danny. No, no, right.
Yeah.
Apparently that's not, but I'm saying in my head.
Yeah.
In my head, I can usually justify why I have to outsource something like having my nanny help me push the car out of the snow, or sure, how would I know how to get a mouse out of a stove? Like, normally I can justify my own incompetence, and then you're all like, that's insane that you don't know how to do this. This one is so embarrassing that I am embarrassed by it.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
And because it's so,
like, you can acknowledge that you were wrong?
Yeah.
Guys,
I know.
Someone called it.
Spiegs, call the newspaper.
Put it on the website.
I'm too busy making presidential baseball rulings.
Because
call Cody Westerland.
Shane, because it's so simple. It's so simple. I drove into a pole.
Oh, Jesus.
How fast were you going? I'm sorry. That must have been scary for you.
About 4 miles an hour.
Where?
In our parking garage.
Downstairs.
Here, looking at my phone.
Oh, yeah, of course you are.
Danny!
I'm sorry. It makes me laugh.
Laughing out loud.
So in this parking lot,
so basic.
There are so many, like, there's a lot of left turns you got to make as you're circling around and looking for where to go. Was it like in that progress process?
Yeah. Good question.
Pulling in, it's the passenger side back seat door, back right door, pulling into like a right turn into a parking spot. There was no like car that was on the line. It was a wide open parking spot, perfectly big for the CRV. It was not a space issue.
What color is it?
It's Urban Gray. Paid up for the Urban Gray. No big deal.
Does it match the color of what you crashed into?
No.
Can we see the damage?
Pole was painted yellow, Tanny.
Oh, no.
Yeah, pole was painted yellow.
So he crashed into a pole. Was it Lech Walesa? I was going for a famous Polish guy.
Yeah, you should have gone to Zawoski or Shep.
Jay Zawoski.
What was the Pole's last name?
Joe Ostrowski.
Joe Ostrowski would have been a good call.
Shepkowski for another mention on the show today. Congrats again, Shep.
But still hasn't texted me back.
You went highbrow.
It didn't text me back either.
Do you have his new number?
No.
It was just that embarrassing, that simple. And you know, it's like, I don't know if any of you guys have ever hit things before, but it's like crunch.
It's jarring.
It's so jarring.
It sounds like nothing. There's nothing else in the world that sounds like that. And it also sounds like a lot of money.
And I just got out of the car.
What's my deductible?
I looked at it. But I mean, a deductible, it's like this is just my fault. Yeah. Like this isn't an accident.
Wait, you didn't blame it on someone else?
We're going to blame the guy
who
built the Prudential building? we need beams to support this building? $1,000.
Oh, of course.
$1,000.
For looking at your phone.
$1,000 for looking at the phone.
Whose tweet were you looking at?
Whose tweet was it? I should have taken note of that.
Stupid from John Greenberg.
Yeah, exactly.
Tab on Pornhub were you searching?
No, I don't do that.
We did that yesterday.
While driving. But I mean, that's the thing. It's not even that
you're
ridiculous.
You're not Reese McGuire.
But I will watch YouTube videos. I'll watch YouTube videos while driving. I'll read Washington Post articles while driving.
Oh,
the fake news media. Yeah. You're all about reading that.
I'll do it.
I wouldn't do that just because it would be supporting Bezos.
It's just
I got a sushi problem.
You got a sushi problem.
That's right.
But is there anything more embarrassing? Because it's so stupid.
I did it once at the end of a long night after a gig when I'd been drinking earlier on the gig, and then I waited a good long time to make sure that I was fully sober to drive home, and I got all the way home and I pulled into the parking lot, very slowly backed in and knocked the side view mirror off completely. it went onto via the pillar right there next to the, and like, I am an idiot. Just a complete freaking idiot. No, there's nothing. It doesn't. Thank you. Very little feels that stupid.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Mm.
I wasn't looking at anything important on the phone. Just park the car and then get on the phone. The pole was right there, and it's just a $1,000 mistake.
I'm sure Steph was thrilled, though. I'm sure she was understanding.
She's finding out about it now. This is it.
I thought she didn't listen.
How'd that go?
She was cool about it because it's one of those things, and she didn't say this, is just my own psychological profile of my wife.
Always a healthy act.
Definitely on the radio.
Definitely
it
do that.
Felt like it, like, bought her currency in the future.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You know what I mean? Because like, she was super cool about
That's
it.
That's more of a psychological profile of yourself.
But yeah, probably.
For the record.
But it's just like, it was like,
she filed it away.
She was so cool about it and like, oh, that's really frustrating. No, see, I'm sorry, babe. She was 10 out of 10 coolness about it.
That's awesome.
But
that's good. I mean, she's a good lady.
She's a good lady.
And of course.
Don't you find that like, when it's just complete abject stupidity,
yeah,
it's easier than when it's like a little nuanced, like it's something you might defend.
Sure.
You know, like, oh no, well, but it wasn't, didn't happen because of this. But if you're just like, babe, I'm an idiot and I did this.
Oh, when
like,
I flooded our house,
yeah,
I got some judgment.
Oh, no way. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, when you left the sink on.
When I left the sink on the thing.
But also, to be fair,
bandaged my own house.
Didn't Steph go to get a pedicure without shoes and then had to have, she was like walking in the pedicure flip flops to then not be able to back the car out of the snow?
She let a guy get her car out of a park. Like,
exactly.
Got into the car and drove the car out of a park. I'm like, that guy could have stolen the car.
You guys are even. even now. That was her mess up, and you hit a pole, but wasn't the right one.
Texters are getting in. Here's one. I have totally done that, and I actually am capable of things. So that's somebody who said that even though they're capable of things, they've also done that. Did you fire the take off via Twitter before you crashed?
I wasn't even tweeting. I was just consuming content.
Mm.
It was just consuming content. For no reason.
Whose content?
I told you, man, I had the score on. I was playing whatever was on there. Whatever, whatever it was.
I
don't know.
Peoria Matt has already read about it on Barrett Sports Media. He already read about this.
414 of everyone listening, there is no one surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, of all the dumb things I've done, I honestly think this is the dumbest.
While we're on topic, Speaks, do you guys all see this? That they did have a write up of Danny's thoughts on Hard Knocks, how he doesn't want to hear about old stuff?
No way!
No, they didn't. Kidding me!
I think Awful Announcing, yeah, they picked it up.
No,
yeah.
They really? Dude.
God, consume another show.
Don't, we love it.
No.
Who's that? Brandon Contis?
I said it was Awful Announcing.
Yeah, well, that's Brandon Contis on Awful Announcing.
Yeah, but they aggregated from, I believe it was Barrett.
Oh,
really?
God. Really?
Jesus Christ.
Awful aggregating Barrett? What has the world come to?
Oh, yeah, wow, you're right. There it is.
I read Bleed Cubby Blues wrap-up of Cubs Insider's piece.
Oh, screw them. Screw them. Screw that guy who writes Bleed Cubby Blues.
Oh, I know.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, and Cubs Insider's dumbass. Fine. Evan Altman's a very nice guy.
Yeah, he's great.
I like
but the other dumbass.
Wow.
Where the hell
yeah, no,
is
listen, I appreciate the aggregation and the attention to the takes.
Is that Al Yellen? Is that who that is?
Yes, that's his name. Gotcha. He's a dumbass.
I got you.
Yeah.
I apologize to Evan Altman
says
for the
bad things about me.
Does he? Oh, does he? Oh, where did he hear that stuff?
Probably from
you. Probably from us.
Probably from something I said.
How dare he? So,
in conclusion.
So, does Marta have time to add driving to her resume of things she does for you guys?
No, she doesn't.
That's too bad.
In conclusion, like, should this be something I bring to my insurance?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Say someone else did it. Can't prove it.
I was just going to pay the $1,000 to the body shop.
No, that's insane.
That's insane?
Yes.
Really?
No.
I mean, how bad is the damage?
It's not bad at all. Just a couple scratches and a dent.
Isn't that insurance fraud that you're suggesting right now?
Dude, I'll do it.
Listen,
I'll go down there right now.
815 Lance says, just, you know, make sure you don't leave the repair bill in the glove box. You know?
We've heard about that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We've heard about
a little bit of that.
All right.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do the old insurance fraud after talking about it.
No, I'm not
going
to do the insurance fraud. I think I'm just going to pay it. Yeah. I think I'm just going to.
Yeah, no, don't.
$1,000 mistake.
Is there a dent?
Oh, yeah.
Because the problem is your deductible then goes up. And so then if you have like a really massive problem, then you're going to have to pay more, right?
Yeah.
Have you tried the hot water thing, the boiling water with a plunger? Because that works in some instances to take dents out. You can pour boiling water over a surface dent and then put a plunger on the dent for the suction or any suction cup that's strong enough and then pull it out.
Do you want to go down to the garage right now?
I don't have a plunger or boiling water with me, but I can try.
We can
boil
water
week.
In the kitchen.
No, we can't. No, I'm not allowed to. Not after the incident.
Okay.
We could try next week.
Okay.
Before you call insurance, we could try getting the dent out for you and then lower the cost. So
okay.
It's just paint.
I like that.
All right. We'll do it next week.
All right. Sounds good. Can we do that on Twitch?
Yes.
Excellent.
Kevin Lapka.
Awful Announcing and Jason Barrett wrote up that Hard Knocks take. That is so funny. We appreciate all of the support. But anyway, Tonight at the Hall of Fame game, there will be a ton of coverage, obviously, of Mongo. We had Jarrett Payton on the station earlier today talking about the enshrinement speech that he will be giving in his honor. And it just is an opportunity to talk about what will happen, but also what is being missed. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.